I do appreciate your prayers not being here last week. I'm feeling better and ready to go. And I have prepared a couple of messages this morning, one that I had prepared for last Sunday and one I was preparing for this Sunday, and I decided to go with last Sunday's message. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of loving one another. This is a simple message, and certainly some of you would say, well, this has been preached over and over again. And I would remind you that it needs to be preached over and over again some more. This is just a simple commandment that the Lord gives us, and yet such a hard commandment to keep. So in John chapter 13, look with me in verse 31. Gospel of John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, talking about Judas Iscariot had gone out, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love that you displayed to us on Calvary. And Lord, as we look at it afresh and new again this morning, I pray it would become so vivid in our minds and so real. And Lord, that we would live out the love that you displayed there as you sacrificed and gave your life on Calvary. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to love each other more. And Lord, we pray for your just leadership and guidance this morning. Help me to say exactly what you'd want me to say. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible, Jesus says here, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. In order for us to, again, keep this commandment that God, that Jesus Christ gave, we must first off understand the word love. Now again, I know for some of you this is review, but review is the best teacher. And to understand that love has been redefined in our society today, has been redefined. Love, according to the world, love is simply a strong desire for someone's interaction or presence. That's the way the world defines love. It's kind of an emotional or physical chemistry that one has between two people. And then when that chemistry or that physical or emotional attachment fades, and suddenly they think they're out of love or they're no longer in love. Let me tell you today, love is not an infatuation. According to the Bible, love is not an infatuation. Love is, though, you know, we can do kind things for each other and we can have those emotional attachments and so forth. Emotional, these attachments, they... Alright? Same example I've been given for 100 years. A couple gets married and... Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm so glad I'm married. My wife's down here. We're both dressed in purple today. It's good stuff. I won't wear purple anymore. But, you know, we get married in the honeymoon, and then after the honeymoon, it's just most of the time, most couples, it is just bliss for the next, you know, 2 weeks. Now, I mean, it's most of the time, most couples experience a honeymoon of sorts for, you know, even up to years. When there's a time of adjusting, a time of getting used to. And really, during those 2 or 3 years, you just get to the place where, you know, you look over each other's faults. But there comes a day when, you know, the toilet paper's not rolled the right way. The toothpaste hasn't been, you know, it's at the bottom, honey, not the middle. Well, babe, I've been squeezing at the top for the last, you know, I don't squeeze the bottom until all of it's gone. And then I get down at the bottom and I squeeze it up to the, you know, I do that in one time. I don't waste time every time. You know, and so, and I know those are trivial things, but many times in our marriages, during those, when the honeymoon is over, we experience just devastating times. You know, people literally, it's that time, that 2, 3, 4 year period of time in which the test really comes. The test whether or not you're going to make it in your marriage. Divorce before Mark. The honeymoon is over. And they'll come into my office and they'll say things like this, Preacher, I just don't love him anymore. Or they'll say, Preacher, I don't love her anymore. And I'll say, listen, you have your definition of love wrong. Love is, according to the Bible, is not that emotional attachment, that physical attachment you have for another. And I'll begin to explain to them, listen, just as you fell in love, and just as you fell out of love, you can fall in love again. And I tell most couples, it don't take that long. If you'll simply go back to what you were doing when you were dating and treat your spouse as you were before you were dating, amen? I mean, while you were dating, before you got married, you talk about falling back in love quick. Right, ladies? Right? You know, what did you do to get her? You know, ladies, what did you do to get him? If you'll do those things, that is emotional, even physical attachment, those things will come back. Absolutely they will. I know we just went through our marriage seminar and out, and I've seen this as well in my ministry. A lot of ladies that leave men, you know, leave their husbands for a man who's ugly. You know, they don't, it's not. And listen, men, it's the same way. I see men that leave their wives. I'm like, what is he thinking, you know? We tie too much to the physical aspects of things and the emotional aspects of things. When those change, they change. I will tell you as a pastor, and I know you're going to laugh at this, but I haven't always in our 17 years of marriage felt like, you know, the blissful times of our honeymoon. Right? And if you say that you've always had that love, that emotional, what? You're a liar. Now, for some of you, it might be a day or two, but a lot of times couples will experience this over months and sometimes even years. A couple have come into my office and they have really been living in the same house for 15 years, but they've been separated for 5, living 2 separate lives. Listen, the world or society would have you to believe that love is, again, that emotional, that physical attachment. And the Lord says, no, that's love. And let me say, when the Bible defines love, that is what real love is. Let me make that very clear. Real love is not an emotional, physical attachment. Not that necessarily that chemistry that comes between us. But love, the Bible says, and I want you to go over there. It's been a while since I preached this. And we have lots of people here who haven't heard me really speak on this to a certain degree. Matthew 7:12. What is love? Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things, I want you to get there. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let me just again reiterate to you and again to the crowd that's been here a while, this will be a lot. It's been a while since I spoke on it. The law is defined by the Lord Jesus Christ as doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen? We were taught that in the golden rule. I don't think they teach it anymore. They don't. If they did, it would sure help. Amen? Let kids teach them they came from monkeys, they act like monkeys, right? But Jesus defined the law as doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Now in the Old Testament, Jesus again was asked in Matthew 22, he was asked by a lawyer, the lawyer asked him a question and said, Jesus, which is the great commandment in the Old Testament? And Jesus said, love God and love your fellow man as you love yourself. Amen? And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus Christ defined the Old Testament laws, all of them, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament, whether it's the ceremonial law, the civil law, or the moral law, 3 different kinds of laws in the Old Testament, all 3 of those laws, they're all defined, all summed up in, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And in Matthew 22, he says, love God and love your fellow man as you love yourself. And he says, these are likened to the same. Why is that? Some of the class in here knows. Because if you love God as you ought to, you'll love your fellow man as you ought to. And if you're loving your fellow man as you ought to, then that means you love God as you ought to. So those two laws are the same. I had a man come to me one time and said, "Preacher, I think you're pushing this the law too much. You're pushing that the law is fulfilled in love, and the law is fulfilled by loving your neighbor as yourself, when the Bible says we're to love God first." I said, "Listen, the Bible defines the law as love God, love your fellow man as you love yourself, because they're one and the same. You can't have one without the other." Amen. Real simple. Jesus takes those laws, He summarizes them down to one, love your fellow man as you love yourself. And then, over in Romans 13, verse 10, if you want to turn there, and this will be the last one I make you turn to. I want you to see it now. Romans 13 and verse 10. Romans 13 and verse 10. So if you could think of a funnel, you think of the funnel of 613 laws in the Old Testament. You take those 613 laws, and Jesus summarizes in Matthew 22 down to the two, which are likened to the same. Love God, love your fellow man as you love yourself. And then in Matthew 7:12, He says that doing unto others as you have them do unto you. And then here in Romans 13, verse 10, Paul says this, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Love is the fulfilling of the law. We just broke it down. What is love? Love is fulfilling the law. What is the law? Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Real simple. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says you've broken the law. How have we broken the law? Because He said you broke one law, you've broken them all. How? Because there's only one law. Amen. Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Amen. No one in the world can love everyone in the world as they love themselves all the time. That's why 1 John 3:4 says that sin is a transgression of the law. I'm throwing a lot at you. I want you to get it now. All right? So what is sin? Sin is breaking the law. What is the law? Doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. No one in the world can love everyone as they love themselves all the time. Now, you might be able to do it some of the time. Amen? I love my wife some of the time. But I I'm not being silly. I don't necessarily treat her as I would want to be treated all the time. Amen? The Bible says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. That means have broken the law of not loving others as they love themselves all the time. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," of who and what God is. You understand this morning that God is perfect, that God is righteous. Let me throw something else at you, the little meat here. Listen, righteousness is living the law, and being righteous, if you live a righteous life, then you display love. Righteousness is right living. The Lord was righteous in all His ways and holy without sin with all His works. Amen? And therefore, because He was righteous, He was loving. He was love. He displayed love. The greatest display of love was when Jesus went to Calvary and died on the cross for me and for you. That display, that righteousness, the right thing, Jesus did the right thing. He did for us what He would have wanted us to do for Him had we been in His place. He died for us. Therefore, He fulfilled righteousness. Love. Love. Love is defined as doing unto others as you have them do unto you. If we all follow this simple commandment, it would improve our lives and those around us. Let me tell you, there's a new law in town. Jesus said, it's love others as you love yourself. When He speaks to His disciples here, He speaks to them and says, love one another. He speaks to them and says, love one another. I'll soon be gone. He said, I'm not going to be with you. I'm soon to leave, and where I go, you cannot come. He says, love one another. Judas had just left the room. Jesus again was reminding them to love each other. Jesus was about to go to Calvary. He's reminding them to love each other. There He was giving advice to that foundational church that He had established in the gospel. The church there, love one another. Love each other. As Christians, we must learn to love each other. What do you mean, learn? It is a learning process. Do you understand that marriage is a learning process? I don't know about you, but I think my mom and dad had a good marriage, and I had a good example to watch and to look at. But until I got married and got into it, you know, I learned a lot since then, right? Amen? You have too. It's a learning process. And listen, in loving others, we must learn to love others. And who teaches us? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all truth. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit to help us to learn to love each other. There are people in this room that many of you could say, I love them, but I don't like them. You know what I'm saying? I remember as a kid, you know, the Bible says we've got to love them, but we don't have to like them. And there's a little bit of biblical truth in that. But understand that loving another person is not necessarily based upon their actions. In marriage, if you base whether or not you love your spouse on their actions, heap of trouble. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, just because you clash with somebody, their personality clashes with you, does not give you a cop-out not to love them. Jesus says, love one another. He doesn't say, love one another. Well, love each other. But, no, he doesn't. There's no but there. We're to love each other. We're to love each other. Treat them as we want to be treated. We must understand and simply walk close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we walk close to Christ, then we will love each other. The world and the church will solve all of its problems if we simply love each other. All the family problems that you are experiencing, whether with your spouse or with your children, would be solved if you simply would love each other as you ought to. Amen. Every marital problem that you have, every marital problem you have can be solved simply by treating your spouse the way you would want to be treated. We just came through Valentine's Day. And I'm telling you, there's couples in this room right now, there are couples in this room who would come to my office tomorrow if they could get the nerve up to do it, and they would say, Preacher, I no longer love my spouse. And then I would sit down with a pen and paper and say, well, tell me why. And we would make a list. And the list might be long. Well, she did this to me, and he did that to me. And then we go down through the list. And that's fine, and there's some value in knowing each other's, you know, hot buttons, right? But many times we like to touch a hot button just because it's fun. Sometimes it's fun to fight. No, just kidding. Y'all know where I was going with that one. But, and as we went through the list, we might say this, this, and this, and this. But I am telling you right now, when it all boils down to the nitty-gritty at the very bottom of the list, the reason why you're having marital problems is because you are selfish. You are selfish. You're selfish. You stop taking her to the movies. You stop taking her out to eat every once in a while. You didn't bring her flowers on Valentine's Day. You didn't bring her, you stopped fishing with him. When you were dating, oh, baby, I love to fish. After dating, no, I just did that so you'd marry me. Oh, baby, I love football, but man, after we married, no longer football. I'm not saying you have to fish every time he goes fishing. But I'm preaching to myself now. How's this going? Inside joke for our visitors are going like, what? But I am saying this, that you're selfish when you don't do for your spouse as you would want things done for you. It's selfishness. And I'm telling you, if you'll go home this afternoon and apologize to your spouse and say, I'm going to start loving you the way the Bible says to love you, you give it 4, 5, 6 weeks. You said, that fast, preacher? I am telling you, it's amazing what a few weeks will do with you just treating each other as you'd want to be treated. It's amazing. You want to fall back in love again? Be selfless. You used to bring her flowers? Man, flowers are cheap now. Man, I'd go to Walmart, $3.99. Amen. You wouldn't believe what $3.99 will do to your wife. It's amazing. You know what? When you bring it home, just take the price tag off. I used to take it off and I put it in the vase before she gets there. Sometimes the kids are there. They help me and put the little granule things down in there so it doesn't die before she gets home. But it's amazing what just $2.99, $3.99 will do. It's amazing. Just treat your spouse as you want to be treated. This also works with children, by the way. I don't know about you, but if I'm a child, I wouldn't want to go all week without seeing Daddy. If you just treat your child as you'd want to be treated, solve a lot of your parental problems you got going on with your kids. Amen? You know, go a whole week without mama hugging or kissing on a child. It's tough, isn't it? Mom and daddy kissing, hugging, kissing on a child. Go, you know, 2 or 3 years without daddy ever saying to his kids, I love you. Amen? You say, well, I wasn't raised that way. My dad never told me I love. Well, just because your dad didn't do it that way doesn't make it right. What would the Lord do? What would Jesus do? What do your kids need? Provide that need. Amen? Selflessness. So all of our issues in life will be settled and solved if we just treat each other as we'd want to be treated. And we could go on and on with this because there'll be no need for policemen, no need for an army, no need for politicians. Woo! It's on camera too. If everybody just treated each other as they want to be treated. The Bible says because we cannot love everyone in the world as we love ourselves all the time, the wages of sin is death. The penalty for sin, breaking the law, is death. That death, by the way, in Revelation chapter 20 is described as death and hell. We're cast like a fire. This is the second death. And I'm here to tell you, just as much as heaven is real, hell is also real. And though today it's not politically correct to believe in hell or preach on hell or talk about hell, hell is just as real today that it was 50 years ago. And those in their accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who do not believe and trust in Him and Him alone, the Bible says the penalty for their sin is death and hell, the lake of fire. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ loved you. Jesus Christ loved me. Amen? As much as He loved Himself. And therefore, He died on the cross for me. He paid the ultimate price for me. He gave His life for me. Why? That He might die for my sins, that He might pay my sin debt, that He might take the wrath of God for my sins, and that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. Amen. Say, preacher, you really believe that? Absolutely, without a doubt. I'm glad today that I'm saved. The Lord Jesus loved me so much, He went to the cross and there shed His blood on Calvary for me, that I might have eternal life. Oh, listen today, if you've never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray you might do it today. Receive Him today. Literally speaking, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I received a new nature. And that new nature allows me to really understand and express and know what love really is. What love really is. Let me tell you, Christian, this morning, the closer we draw to Jesus Christ, the closer we draw to each other. And I quoted this a few Wednesday nights ago, but 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we'll keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and develop our relationship with Him, our relationship with our fellow man will be what it should be. That's why the law is the same. He says, love God and love your fellow man as you love yourself. If you love God, if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, then your relationship with your fellow man will be what it should be. Right? Peter and the disciples were out in a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came up, a big storm. The waves were tossing that boat, just tossing around. And I always like to remind people, these boats were not the big ocean liners that you see in the ocean. The Sea of Galilee is nothing but a lake, and it's smaller than Lake Texoma. And the boats were about 25 feet long, wooden boats. And when those waves got up, and they didiln't have any bilge pumps, And so the waves got up over the boat and came in the boat, and the water filled the boat up. And they were taking buckets or whatever they got and, you know, trying to get the water out. And the Bible says that Jesus came walking to them on the water. And Jesus said to them, "Be not afraid." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come out and walk there with you." And Jesus said, "Come on." This is a summary. Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Walked on the water. Amen? I tell you what, that's huge faith. We like to, you know, make fun of Peter because he, you know, started sinking, but at least he got out there. Amen? He got out of the boat and began to walk on the water. The Bible says the winds were boisterous, the waves were boisterous, and Peter got his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And any time you get your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll begin to sink as well. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship with Him, the better your relationships will be with the people around you. In other words, in order to treat somebody as you would want to be treated, Christ has to be put in His proper place. Let me repeat that. I say it right. In order for you to love your spouse as you ought to, your relationship with the Lord needs to be where it ought to be. Amen. We are commanded to love each other. A man had just arrived in heaven and told Peter how grateful he was to be in such a glorious place and asked Peter to give him one glimpse into hell in order that he might appreciate his good fortune even more. This Peter did. In hell, he saw a long table extending as far as the eye could reach, laden down with the most delicious of all variety of foods. But everyone around the table was starving to death. When asked for an explanation, Peter said, "Everyone is required to take food from the table only with 4-foot long chopsticks. They are so long that no one can reach the food from the table to his mouth, and therefore each one is dying of starvation." Quickly they returned to heaven, and behold, the new arrival saw an identical table laden down with identical foods, but everyone around the table was happy and well fed. Then he said to Peter, "With what do they take the food from the table?" And Peter answered, "Only with 4-foot chopsticks." And the new arrival inquired, "Then why are they all those in hell starving to death, but those in heaven are fed and happy?" Whereupon Peter replied, "In heaven we feed each other." None of y'all got that one. I've used that one before. I really like it. In heaven we feed each other. That's the way Christians ought to be to each other. And man, it's not about me, mine, and mine only. But it's about yours. Paul said in Philippians, he said, "I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, but all seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ." Can I tell you this morning, the things which are Jesus Christ, those things which are Jesus Christ is looking out for others. Looking out for others. We must love each other. We must love each other. This love we have for each other, the love that we express to each other, is commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 15, He says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." That you love one another. By the way, shouldn't be just lip service. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We can say we love somebody all day long, but until we show it, it's not real love. We can say we love our spouse, but until we bring the flowers or do something special for them and spend time with them, it's not real love. A lot of people today playing lip service, but no actions. A lot of people saying they love the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's no actions there. By the way, the love we have for each other provides a testimony. In our text there this morning, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." I've had several come to my office lately who've said something to the effect, "Preacher, how do I know I'm saved?" Well, 1 John tells you. John here tells you, here Jesus says, those who are saved will have a love for the brethren. Those who have accepted Christ their Savior will have a love for fellow Christians. Do you have a love for fellow Christians? On several occasions, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Do you have love for each other? First, in John, again, the Bible says that this love we have for each other is a testimony to those around us. That men around us will know that what we have is genuine. The men around us will see the love of Jesus Christ that we display there. And many, the Bible says in John 15, will hate us for it. As we display the love of Christ to others around us, then others will make fun of us because of it. Well, you love your enemies? You love your enemies? Yeah, Jesus told me to love my enemies. Amen? Oh, you know, you spend time at church, spend time on your knees, you give your money, you do all these things? Yeah, I do. Why? Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Love Him. We must understand that our display of love for each other is our testimony. And we need to be careful about our testimony. And those in the community, and those who may be our neighbors, those who may be our co-workers, those who may be who are family members, should see the love of Christ in us. They should see that love of Christ displayed in us. They should see us treat others as we want to be treated. Amen. Our testimony is important. Amen. Then we should display love to each other. Our community should see the love Baptist Church displays to it, shows it. They should see the love of Christ when you're at your workplace and when you're in your home and when you're out with your neighbor helping him, you know, cut his yard or whatever you're doing. It should see the love of Jesus in us. Our wives should see the love of Jesus in us. Our children should see the love of Jesus in us. Our testimony is seen in this. Just to touch on it again before I conclude the service this morning. In 1 John, John speaks to Christians. The whole book is written to Christians. And in that book, there are many tests found there as to whether or not you're saved or not. So if you ask the question, you say, am I saved? Do I know Jesus Christ is my Savior? And you say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Here's some tests. Number one in the test, if you're truly saved, is this. Do you have a love for the brethren? Do you have a love for fellow Christians? Is there love there? Do you have the new nature in you that wants to display love? All right, so when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I received the new nature. I received the new want to. That new nature, the new want to, it wants to treat others as I would want to be treated. Amen? The new nature I received is a selfless nature. I received that nature from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I still have the old nature that I was born with. And the old nature is selfish. Right? All right, so it's selfish by nature. It's selfish. The desire, it's selfish. I received a new nature to live right, and therefore if I live right, I'm expressing love. I already explained that, right? Righteousness, living right. All right? Now, how am I to express this love, I'm express that love by doing for others. Amen? But why do I do for others? See, the world can do for others, right? There are good people out there, amen? But why you do it is also important. Your motives are important. And I'm telling you, as a your motives should be pure. In other words, when I do for someone else, I shouldn't do for someone else simply so they'll do something for me. That's the way the world works. Amen. That's not genuine love. Genuine love is doing for someone else without expecting anything in return. That's selflessness. Flowers home to your wife and setting them on the counter, expecting to receive something back, that's not true love. Hello, ladies. Help me out. Right? We should do, and I know that's very trivial compared to what I was trying to get across, but listen, when we do for others, when we do something nice for our neighbor or for our coworker or for a family member or whatever the case is, we should do with pure motives because we've been given a new that wants to do what's right, that wants to live right, that wants to be selfless. And we should do for others with pure motives. A true test that you're saved is a love for the brethren, and that love is expressed by doing for others with no attachments, with nothing in return. Number two, a love for souls. Christians, we ought to have a love for souls. The Lord is soon to return. He can return today. People are dying and going to hell all around us. We should have a love for souls. Number three, a love for God and for His Word. A love for God and for His Word. You say, preacher, how do I know I have a love for God and His Word? Obedience. Obedience. Love for Him and desire to please Him is evidence that you're saved. Love for Him and desire to please Him is evidence that you've been born again. Again, love for Him and desire to please Him is evidence that you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Saved to the uttermost. Amen? Do you desire to please the Heavenly Father? Do you desire to be obedient to Him? That's a true test of whether you're really in the family of God. What is your desire this morning? Amen? What is your desire? We should have a desire to love each other. If our love for others is dying, so is our love for Christ. They're connected. Can't have one without the other. If any man have an ought, as we preached the other night, against his brother, he ought to get it right. Love his brother. Love his sister. The Bible says he that hateth his brother is in danger of hell. Those are serious words, isn't it? We should make it a routine to pray that the love of Christ might be manifest in us. I want the love of Christ to be manifested in my life. I want my life to display what Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary when He gave His life for me, shed His blood for me, was buried, and rose again the third day. I want my spouse to be treated that way. I want to treat my spouse that way, to love her as Christ loved me. I want my kids to know that I love them and see the display of Christ's love in me. Treat them as I want to be treated. I want you, as church members and visitors today, to see that love displayed in me. That is my desire. Well, if that's my desire, then I'm saved. Amen? Because that's not natural. That doesn't come natural when you're born. That comes from the new nature. Are you saved this morning and you know it? Christian, are you displaying the love of Christ to others, or somebody just got a burr under your saddle and you just, oh man, you just can't take it. You have an ought against somebody. You're not displaying the love to them as you ought to display to them. Husbands and wife, are you displaying the love to your spouse as you ought to? Maybe this morning your marriage is in a wreck. Won't you display that love to your spouse as Christ displayed to you, showed you, gave His life for you? Let's all stand.